Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Where is the beef?
Hey, how you doing?
Hold on to your butt.
Feels like an Arby's snack.
Son of a... That's gonna leave a mark.
Chili, baby back rib.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
This is Tom and Jim's Top 5. Naming their top 5 lists on everything pop culture. Celebrating the 90s, sports, movies, music, and more. They're not authorities, just grown children. Here's your hosts, Tom Skull and Jim Doubt.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Tom and Jim's Top 5. I'm Tom.
I'm Jim.
Who?
Hello?
Hi. How are you?
Dad?
Dad. No, that's tomorrow. You'll see him tomorrow.
All right, episode 2. We made it. Didn't get canceled after episode 1.
No, and like I said in the first time we tried to record this, we are now on iTunes, so please check us out there. No idea how I accomplished it. I pressed some buttons on the computer. They sent me an email, and lo and behold, we were on there with our awesome logo that was made by my lovely wife.
Lovely.
And and we're on there. So please check us out on iTunes. We're also on Podbean, so there you go. So what's new, huh?
Nothing's new. We're recording this one on the night before Thanksgiving, Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Yes, the night before the Thanksgiving Eve, or apparently New Year's Eve is the new New Year's Eve, right? People go and just get just hammered tonight.
Did you when you came home from college?
I did. I remember one time when we were living in Oklahoma, and I came home, and I drove all the way home. It was like a 12-hour drive to Duluth, Minnesota. I drove right to the bar. Didn't even go see my parents. Called them at 2:30 in the morning after I was at the bar with my friends to have them come get me. And then, so that made Thanksgiving fun the next morning when we all had to go get my car and stuff.
I used to work at a place at a TV station that had a tradition on this day. It was called Wild Turkey Wednesday.
Oh, boy,
And everyone would come to work who wasn't working at that point, and then everyone who was working would all gather together, and they would pour shots of Wild Turkey, and everybody would toast.
Yeah.
And then go about separate ways.
Let's not say where that place was and what we did there. Okay.
I am not. Well, right. This tradition originated at my first TV station, and then we all did it again at a different TV station.
Oh.
But instead of doing one shot, we just sat there and drank the bottle.
So it's your fault?
Probably.
Nice.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So tomorrow will be Thanksgiving. Jim, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Nothing, and I'm really excited about it. My wife and I, we've been together for 6 years, and we've never, I call her Sarah, we've never actually spent a Thanksgiving together, full day. Either she's working or I'm working or we're both working.
Right.
It's going to be great. We're going to wake up and watch the parade and eat and drink and watch football all day.
Nice.
It's never happened before, so I'm pretty excited about it. What are you doing?
That sounds fantastic. My only day off is Thanksgiving this week, so I'm going to make the most of it. I'm starting tonight talking to my best friend Jim, who I like to by the way, I introduced you to people as my heterosexual life mate Jim, and I get the weirdest looks, and it's like, well, it's not that weird.
When we go forward to our topic for this week, there is a particular segment in our topic that made me think of us. I didn't put it in my top 5, but it made me think of us.
All right. We're hanging out. My wife just got home. We put the kid to bed, and she got home, and I said, well, see, I'm going to talk to Jim on the phone in the basement. but no, when we get off here, we'll probably hang out, watch some movies together. And then tomorrow, I moved back to my hometown, 8 years ago now. And
oh gosh,
yeah, that's, I got the accent back and everything. anyway, so move back, and then we do it. My friends here, a couple of friends here, we have a tradition now. Every Thanksgiving morning, we go to our old junior high, into the baseball field in the back, and we play a wiffle ball tournament, and we drink lots and lots of beer in the morning. And it's awesome. Yeah, so I'll do that in the morning. I'll come home, and then we'll watch the parade and hang out, and then we're going over to my parents' house tomorrow.
Cool.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. And the Vikings play tomorrow, and so yet another holiday ruined for me.
Who are they playing tomorrow?
They're playing Detroit, in Detroit. And actually, the Detroit Lions aren't the Detroit Lions of old. They're actually pretty good this year, and that's... Anyway, I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. So, hey, last week was our first show, and we did Bill Murray movies, which I love Bill Murray. And, you know, I think if we keep doing this later on down the road, like maybe a year or two from now, we owe it to ourselves and Bill Murray to redo a Bill Murray episode.
That episode was literally like, hey, Tim, I figured out how to use an audio board. Do you want to record a podcast?
Yeah, 15
and
minutes.
I don't know. I'm driving home from work. Give me 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, wait, no time.
Folks, that was the exact conversation. That's exactly how it went down. So, yeah. So, anyway, so we actually did some research this time. But, hey, so a little corrections last week. We were talking about Bill Murray and Woody Harrelson in Zombieland. And I said the trivia of, you know, well, Woody Harrelson asked Bill Murray to do the movie as a favor to him because he wanted him in the movie so bad. And you asked me, oh, why would he want him in that movie? Like, what did they work together before? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. Well, yeah, they did. They starred in Kingpin together. We are stupid. We never claimed we were smart. And so I'm sorry. Our old coworker, Jared, I won't say his last name, Smith, pointed that out to us. And one of my brothers pointed that out to us. And I know, I realized as soon as we went off the air, I'm like, oh my God, how stupid are we? But yeah, it makes it fun.
I actually, surprisingly, had a lot of good feedback from that episode from my friend Neil. Which
your
I
one
was
friend.
Very surprised me. But yeah, him and you.
Well, your other friend, sorry.
Right, my other friend, yeah.
Yeah, no, actually, we got a lot of good feedback. Obviously, there's some friends and family that listened first, but hey, we're just getting started. You know?
Yeah.
Like I said, did I mention we're on iTunes? Jim, we're on iTunes.
We're on iTunes, yeah.
We're on iTunes.
You know who else is on iTunes?
Everyone else.
Miley Cyrus is on iTunes. I don't know if you knew that.
You just blew my mind. Wow.
What are we doing this week?
Oh, this week. All right, new top five this week. Well, the reason we're doing this topic this week is a friend of mine at work who listened to our show, and he's a big podcast guy, and so he had some good feedback. I like to call it really mean criticism, but he had good feedback. And he said, you know what you guys sound like? He's like, you remember that old Saturday Night Live skit? And Chris Farley just played himself, and he did the Chris Farley show, and he talked all kind of like, you remember that? That was awesome, and stuff like that. And I said, yeah. He's like, that's what you sound like. And that hurt, but I, he's totally right, and that's okay because I love that skit. So I said, well, you just gave me an idea for our new top five. We're doing this week our top five SNL skits from the 90s.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Well, let's get started. What do you think?
About your face.
What about my face?
What?
Jim, do you have an adult beverage in front of you?
Mm-hmm. I do.
We both just took a sip at the same time, didn't we?
Yeah, it's meant to be.
That was awesome. Oh, man. I made that one a little too much. Anyway.
That happens when it's straight.
Yeah. Well, I'm home. I'm an adult. Leave me alone. Don't lecture me. Okay, so Jim, let's get this started. Saturday Night Live, top five. Let's start with your number five.
My number five. My number five was a tough call. The 90s in SNL was so huge, and we grew up in that time. So with the different waves of cast members, you're going through Michael Myers and Dana Carvey and Chris Farley and Adam Sandler and ending with more like Will Ferrell, period. And this one, it was really hard to limit my amount of Chris Farley intake in my top five. Because the Best of Chris Farley DVD is like one of the funniest things around. I went with a Chris Farley skit for my number five, and it was really tough for me to call. But I did the Chip and Dale skit from 1990.
Oh, with Patrick Swayze.
With Patrick Swayze.
And if you look at that skit, his mullet is flowing, and that's his real hair, everybody. So go ahead, sorry.
Well, the skit was only Chris Farley's fourth show. He was still a featured player at that point. Right. And he and Chris Rock started at the same time, and then Adam Sandler came a little bit later. David Spade came, I think, at the end of the season before them, so he was still relatively new in the mix. So all these huge stars now were really young at that point. And Farley really hadn't done much before then. But one of the reasons why it was hard for me to pick, one of my favorite books, and this sounds really weird, but one of my favorite books is a biography on Chris Farley written by his brother, Tom, mm-hmm. and it's called The Chris Farley Show. And it sounds stupid. It's kind of like saying my favorite book is like Cash by Johnny Cash, but it is actually a really great book, and it's written in quotes from people who were around him, not like paragraph form, but quotes from all these people at different points of his life. So I'm going to probably reference that book a lot because it's really brilliant. If you were into Tommy Boy or Black Sheep or SNL, and it goes behind the scenes of all these things. And I remember watching Chippendales when I was a kid. At this point, I would have been 8 or 9 years old, and thinking it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And then reading quotes from Mike Myers, who he actually said a star was born. When he saw it, he was like, he knew right away Chris Farley is what he was, just a comedic genius. Bob Odenkirk hated it, and he hated it for being the first thing that people knew Chris Farley for. And right. Chris Rock hated it. He said that there was no comedic twist. You just see a fat guy dancing, and it right, never we turns into...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Because I was just going to say we were laughing at him.
Exactly. You're yeah. laughing at him, and it never turns in his favor. You know that it's not going to end well. But then other people, like the writers for the show, said that it was funny because the judges, I think one of them was Kevin Nealon, I think Mike Myers was one of them, they're legitimately giving him a shot. You know, they're taking notes and they're interested and they're really watching him, and I think that's the comedic point of it, is that these guys are really watching him compared to Patrick Swayze perform as a Chippendales dancer.
Right.
So after reading that book, it was hard for me to like that skit because of everybody pointing out those things. And Chris Rock actually said, and this is way early on, that was the point where something broke in Chris Farley, and he never came back from that point.
Right.
And to think of that as like the beginning of his SNL career, and at this point he had already really been in alcohol and really been into drugs. He might have been in and out of rehab at this point, too, before he even went to SNL. I think he was. Don't quote me on that. But to think of his career as we know him as already broken was kind of sad. But you can't think of SNL in the 90s and not think of this skit.
Right, right. Well, now you depressed us all about him.
Right, so I'll have a drink.
Can you turn it, turn it around? No, that skit was great. That was one, I think I texted you last night, and I was trying to narrow down my top five, and that was one I left off. I'm like, I'm just going to have to leave it off. And it's I didn't want to, but it was on there, and it's one of the funniest skits ever. He doesn't say a word, and we were laughing at him, but it showed, like, hey, we're seeing the new John Belushi here. Like, it's this guy, he can do anything. He's the most agile big guy I've ever seen, you know?
Yeah.
And
his hero was Belushi. He wanted to be Belushi.
Yeah, he was obsessed with Belushi. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one, Jim. I like it. Anything else on that one? Like I said, I left that one off mine, but that was definitely a tough one to cut.
Yeah, no, it's, it's hard for me at the time. And even afterwards, when I got, like, the Best of Chris Farley, it's still one of the funniest things I've ever seen, but it's hard to watch it now, knowing more of the behind-the-scenes stuff in that skit.
Yeah, well, the good thing I don't read, All right. Well, my number five.
Mm-hmm.
My number five is debuted in October of 91. So it's mm-hmm. that falls in the 90s. Mike Myers. And it was Coffee Talk with Linda Richmond. I love this Coffee skit talk. So much. Coffee Talk. So much as a kid. I 1 year dressed as Linda Richmond for Halloween. Yes, that's true. There's pictures to prove it. Mike Myers based this, for those who don't know, but this was a stereotypical Jewish woman. He played who had the big gaudy hair, the big flamboyant sweaters, you know, and just talk like, you know, total Brooklyn type New York accent. And it's Coffee Talk. I'm Linda Richmond. Give us a call. No big whoop. You know, she'd talk like that. And it was based on Mike Myers, at the time, real-life mother-in-law, also named Linda Richmond. So I'm sure, speaking of Thanksgiving, really? That probably went over real well. Especially, they're Canadian, aren't they? So, isn't their Thanksgiving in October? So that was probably, there you go. Anyway, I love this kid. It was great. They had, she would have good guests on. I think one of my favorite ones ever is when Roseanne Barr and was the host, and Madonna was the music act on that show that week, and they all were on the show, and they're doing the whole, you know, the accent and everything, and they're talking about how much they love Barbra Streisand. They say her legs are like two sticks of dancing butter. Remember, they'd always say that. And she made a surprise cameo appearance. Barbra Streisand walks on the set, and they didn't know. Mike Myers, Madonna, Roseanne did not know Barbra Streisand was performing a concert across the street. And someone told her, hey, they're doing that skit tonight. And so she walked across the street, talked to Lorne, and he sent her out there. And it's a great moment. If you can check it on Hulu or NBC.com or wherever you can find these skits. But it was great. But one of my favorite things that she would always do is that she'd get verklempt. You know, remember, she'd get very verklempt. And she says, let me give you a topic. And then she's like, she wants you to discuss, you know, she's like, Milli Vanilli is neither Milli or Vanilli. Discuss. You know, like.
Discuss.
And I actually have a list of like 20 down here of what she would say. And my favorite one is did Truman drop the bomb on the Japanese to end the war or just to scare the hell out of the Russians? Discuss.
You saying this made me think of a different Mike Myers skit that I'm really mad I didn't put in my
Oh, well, there you go. But,
And it might be in yours. You remember Simon?
Oh, my name is Simon. Yes, that's the one I had to leave off as well. Not in my top five, but he'd draw the drawings. My name is Simon.
Yeah, I still quote that one, and I totally forgot about it. I wish I would have put that on my list.
Cheeky bum looker. Cheeky bum looker. Oh, jeez. Okay, well, that's my number five. Love that. It's the Mike Myers portrayal of that stereotypical Jewish woman is just, that's the funniest, one of the funniest skits I've ever seen. So, and that, I didn't have the number of how many times that was on air, but it was on a lot. It seemed like every week they were doing that skit. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I remember that one pretty well. Even in the early 90s, I remember that. Yeah.
All right. So number four, should we alternate? I'll go with my number four.
Yeah. You go first. Before it.
My number four is, it's a Will Ferrell skit. I noticed, like, for a while, doing my top, almost all mine were Will Ferrell for a while. I'm like, geez, but hey, there's many lists out there naming him. He's the number one. They talked about he's the number one cast member of all time, and you know that's opinion, your opinion, and I agree. I think he is number one. But anyway, my number four skit is the Get Off the Damn Shed skit.
And I don't know if I know that.
Oh my gosh, it was his first skit ever. Debuted in September of 95. Most people don't even know Will Ferrell was on there, on SNL in 95. And it's his first, yeah, like I said, his first sketch ever. Marilyn Hemingway was the host that night. Mm-hmm. And I guess I have to try to explain it now over because you haven't seen it, but it's basically, it's him, he's grilling burgers in his backyard, and Marilyn is his wife, and then they have the neighbors are over. And he's just grilling burgers, and he's talking to him, and he's yelling to the kids that are off screen. He's yelling to his kids off screen. And he just, at first it just starts quiet, like, hey, you know, Michael, Jim, or I think it's Michael and James, like, get off the shed. Okay, come on, guys, get off the shed. Don't want you on there. And then he goes back to talking and flipping burgers and he talking with the neighbors. And he's like,
and I can hear Will Ferrell yelling that in his like over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, go
for it. And okay, so it just builds and builds and builds. And finally, he's just like, for the love of God, I will punch you in the face. Get off the damn shed. And it just goes on and on and on. And then he just goes back, talks normal to the neighbors, and they're all they're starting to freak out. Like, this guy's crazy. And what's funny about that is Will Ferrell did that skit in his audition for SNL. And okay, that summer. You know, whenever he auditioned, and they liked it so much that they put it. That was his first skit on SNL, and he just there's video of them doing his audition video, and that's one of them. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's funny. It's So that's my number four. Yeah, check it out, everybody. That's a good one.
Before I name mine, just so you know, the SNL Thanksgiving special is on right now.
Well, there you go. See, this is good timing.
So I have that going on in the background, which is kind of weird.
I'm watching Gilligan's Island, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. So, my number four, I remember watching this when it happened, when it was on. It was Jim Carrey hosted in 96.
Nice.
You know what I'm going to say?
I know where you're going, but I love it. Go
okay. Jim Carrey, Will Ferrell, and a quick cameo by Tim Meadows. It's the Jacuzzi Lifeguard. Do you remember this one?
Yes, yes. I can't believe I didn't even think of it. But yeah, I knew you were going there right when you said Jim Carrey. All right.
This one, I was like probably 14, 15 years old when it happened, and it hit me like just slapped me in the face. It was so funny. Just the concept of this was so funny. Of Will Ferrell relaxing in a tiny two-person hot tub, and Jim Carrey comes over in full lifeguard outfit with a bullhorn.
Didn't he have sunscreen on his nose too? Like he was outside.
Yeah, he had sunscreen on his nose. He had sunglasses on an inside. It was like at a YMCA hot tub. And at one point, he takes the buoys and throws them across it. Yeah. And it was like, last time, and Tim Meadows jumps in and jumps back and forth like three times and runs out in a Speedo. Oh. And Will Ferrell just stands up one time and he pulls out the bullhorn and he yells at him for no diving.
Yeah, no diving, and, sir. No diving.
No diving, sir. No diving. And he moves to the other side, just to the other side of the hot tub. You're out too far, sir.
Yeah.
Sir, you're out too far. He ends up giving him CPR because he had a toe cramp. He had a toe cramp and he dives in and gets CPR. Just the whole concept of that when I was 14 or 15 years old is the funniest thing in the world to me.
Yeah. See, sometimes those make the best skits. Just such an idiotic concept on paper, you know.
Yeah.
But then you see it played out, and you have someone like a Jim Carrey and a Will Ferrell to do it. Like it wouldn't work with everybody, you know. And that's a good one. Good pull. I like that.
Thank you. And it made me think. My friend Dave has this idea. I hope nobody steals it because I'm going to throw it out there for the seven people who are listening. Mm-hmm. That he wanted to do a Saturday Night Live skit of a bathroom attendant in a porta potty.
Oh, nice! Yeah, see,
and
that's
kind of
a good
the same
concept.
Time. Like it makes me think of kind of the same concept. That would be really hilarious to pull off. But
that would be good.
So yeah, Jacuzzi Lifeguard. That's my number four.
All right. Number three. It's your turn now. You were alternating. You go.
My turn. Okay. I'm going back to another Chris Farley skit.
All right.
And this, I know, it's like you said, it's so hard because he really is probably, arguably, because Will Ferrell's great and there's some other ones who are classic, but he is probably the best of the 90s. Mine is his character, Matt Foley, specifically the one with David Spade and Christina Applegate.
Right.
When she was the host.
That's the that was the debut of Matt Foley.
Yes. And the other ones were hilarious, too. But this is, like, the classic one in 1993. David Spade's, I don't know what skit went on before it, but you can tell he's still wearing, like, his heavy makeup.
Yeah.
He has, like, really huge blush on and stuff for whatever skit he ran off to and sat on this couch. Matt Foley was his character, the motivational speaker for people who don't remember, and he's always hiking up his shorts and leaning over, and his parents hire him. Phil Hartman, I think I remember, was the dad. And
Phil Hartman, and it's Julia Sweeney. Julia Sweeney? Is it Julia Sweeney?
I don't remember.
That, I forget. No, she was funny. Yeah, she was the mom.
Julia.
Julia Sweeney, yeah.
So, and this goes back, like, and a lot of cast members and a lot of really famous comedians now came from Second City in Chicago, which is their improv, famous improv. And you're talking Tina Fey and, like, the janitor in Scrubs and Steve Carell, and all these guys went through that process, and so did Chris Farley. And he went through it with, like, Tim Meadows. He was in his group. Bob Odenkirk was in his group, who's famous for Mr. Show with David Cross, which is a hilarious sketch comedy show, and Better Call Saul. And they created this character. Bob Odenkirk kind of created this character back in Second City. Mm-hmm. But the name Matt Foley was somebody that Chris Farley met playing rugby at Marquette,
right?
Who actually went on to become a priest.
Right, I read that. So, yeah.
And he's in that book that I mentioned, the Chris Farley show.
Okay.
They have a ton of stuff from him in there, and he talks about, like, I don't want to go on a dark side here. He talks about when Farley would be drinking or be on drugs, and he would call Matt Foley and kind of confess his sins to him, because he thought, well, I confess my sins, I'm at a clean slate, I can go ahead and start over and keep drinking.
Just keep going, right.
Yeah, right. So, but Matt Foley himself, the actual Matt Foley, was in the crowd the first time they did the Matt Foley skit.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, he watched it happen, and he kind of slunk down in his chair, but he always thought that was pretty cool. But,
awesome.
Yeah. So, anyway, that skit is, that's when you think of the 90s, when you think of Chris Farley, it's that character and that skit.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads into with David Spade and Chris Farley and spinning off to the whole Tommy Boy and Black Sheep, which was kind of interesting too. And they talk about this a lot in this book, that those two would fly from New York to Toronto to shoot when they weren't. It was during the SNL season,
right?
So they would do SNL, perform on Saturday, fly up there on Sunday, shoot a couple scenes, fly back, do SNL, and keep doing that week after week.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because a lot of the writers for SNL wrote for Tommy Boy.
Right.
But it wasn't like a planned script, like a normal movie would be.
Yeah.
They didn't know what they were doing.
They wrote it on the plane right up there, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
They'd write the scenes.
Yeah.
And
it would literally be like, okay, what stupid thing happened to you? And one of the guys is like, I left the oil cap under my hood, and the hood blew up. And they're like, it's in the movie.
Put that
and they're
in.
Like, okay, one time I left my door open, and I backed up and extended the hinge, and like, it's in the movie.
Yeah.
And that's just how they wrote scenes, and then they would shoot the scenes and come back.
Right.
Everybody says, like, not everybody, but a lot of people say that Tommy Boy was kind of the perfect Chris Farley comedy movie, better than Black Sheep and obviously Beverly Hills Ninja, but that movie was like destined to fail because it had no planned end, but it really worked out and it was really good. So,
and
I'm gonna drop some knowledge on you too.
Okay.
Honestly, this book, I didn't love Chris Farley before I read it, and it really gave me a different perspective on him from the people around him and his family and people who really cared about him. And it told, like, how much of a really good person that he was and how big his heart was and how much he gave back. He just had a lot of addiction problems. And towards the end, he wanted to branch out and kind of grow his career. And I don't know if you know this. I don't know if many people know this, but he actually was the original Shrek character.
I did know that.
You did know that.
I knew that because I'm a big movie nerd, but that's the only reason I tried it.
So he had voiced most of Shrek before he died, and they were considering trying to finish the movie without him, and they say that the movie would have been completely different with Farley because he really related to that character. Like, he was kind of, I'll say, ogre on the outside, but really lovable on the inside.
Right.
And he took that character more of, it was a comedy, but more of a dramatic role than Michael Myers took it.
Yeah.
So they say that it would have been totally different, and he had already signed up to do a movie. He wanted to branch into drama. He had signed up to do a movie on Fatty Arbuckle, and he was going to be Fatty Arbuckle, and it was this, his dramatic breakout role, and unfortunately he never lived to portray it.
Jim, you just took us to school.
You want to talk about it?
We just talked about it. God, Lord, we're at 30 minutes here.
I'm telling you, man,
I'm going to get this book. I'm going to have someone who can read it to me, and it's going to be great.
It is seriously, it made me an enormous Chris Farley fan reading this book, and I wasn't going into it, but it really gives you a lot of insight into him.
That's good. That's good. Well, I love Chris Farley, and he'll pop up again on our list, I have a feeling. So.
You do.
My number three is another Will Ferrell skit. Debuted in October of 96 on Weekend Update. Aired a total of 8 times. And Cubs win! Cubs win! Brought to you by Budweiser, King of Beers.
That was pretty good.
Harry Carey. Will Ferrell's Harry Carey.
Okay.
There's a lot of people out there, even before this, that would do Harry Carey impressions. Mm-hmm. And Will Ferrell's, I don't even know how accurate it was, but he made it so funny. And, like I said, it started off as a Weekend Update part on Weekend Update with Norm MacDonald at the time. And then he branched out. They would do, like, he would host a... like a science show. Harry Carey did a science show, and it was hilarious, and it was one of the best impressions ever of Harry Carey. And even after he passed away, they would do he'd do it like he's from heaven. He'd be doing it from heaven,
right? Yeah. And I think even now when you hear people do Harry Carey impersonations, they're doing Will Ferrell's impersonation of Harry Carey.
Yeah. It's definitely Will Ferrell's impression that I'm trying to do. It was great. He's like, I can't even remember what I was gonna say, but he would ask odd questions. He'd like, hey, if the moon was made of barbecued spare ribs, would you eat it?
Would you eat it?
I know I would. It'd be delicious. Oh, gosh, it's so funny. If you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself, Jim?
I know I would.
Yeah. I'd smother myself in relish and ketchup. So that's my number three. And I did not read the Will Ferrell book, so I can't give a dissertation on, like, Jim would. But
Did you watch that HBO documentary Will Ferrell did on baseball?
Yes.
That was fantastic. I lived in Phoenix when he went to all the baseball stadiums to shoot that.
Oh, he did? Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah. We had guys I worked with followed him around to every ball diamond in town to do that. It was pretty awesome. Nice.
You don't live in Phoenix anymore, Jim. You live in sunny Cleveland.
Sunny? No. I live...
Believe land.
Cleveland.
Isn't it so cool to live on a Great Lake?
Yeah.
No, it's not so great. I live on the biggest of the Great Lakes, and it snowed and rained and lightning today. Yeah. And I'm a mailman. I work outside. So that was fun. Let me take a sip here.
I was outside for work last year for the Cleveland Marathon.
Yeah,
and it snowed and hailed and sleeted and rained and like 60 mile an hour winds and all in one day, and it was May 15th.
Yeah, you were just waiting for locusts, then you'd be like, that's like the Bible.
Yeah, right. Frogs fell from the sky, right. Dogs and cats together. It was awful.
It was great. All right, number two. Is it my turn or your turn? We alternate. I forget. It's my turn.
Go for it.
Another Will Ferrell. See what I mean? He's just gonna pop up and pop up and pop up. So, Will Ferrell, this one debuted in 96. It aired 15 times.
I think it is.
13 times as Will Ferrell as a cast member, 2 more as he came back as a host.
I definitely know what it is. Okay.
It is Celebrity Jeopardy.
Yeah, that's a great one.
It's funny, it's a Will Ferrell skit, but Will Ferrell plays Alex Trebek. He plays it straight. He's funny, but he tries to play the straight guy, and it's the characters... The people playing the celebrities, that's what makes it hilarious.
Yeah. Norm MacDonald did a lot of those, right?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, Norm MacDonald actually created it. And basically, Norm MacDonald created this because he liked doing his own Burt Reynolds impression. So he tried to, like, well, how can I do it? Oh, let's do Celebrity Jeopardy. Because they were doing those at the time. And so he could do it. So he actually was the brains behind it. And he was on there, like, I would say half of them he was on there before he got fired off to SNL. But,
right.
And Daryl Hammond as Sean Connery. And he was on, I think, all but two of them or something like that. I think he was on there
Norm
one time.
McDonald created that skit so he could do Burt Reynolds.
Correct.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. They actually had, and it's funny, they actually had plans for the real Burt Reynolds to come out and punch out Norm MacDonald and then continue the show as himself. That never came to fruition because that was going to happen, but then Norm MacDonald did get fired mid-season for dropping the F-bomb on Weekend Update. I think it was Weekend Update or
you know,
one of the skits, yeah.
I was going to mention that because I remember sitting in my friend's basement,
yeah,
and we were hanging out and playing games or whatever we were doing.
Right.
And that happened on Weekend Update, and both of us, and this is before DVR, so we couldn't, like, go back, and we heard him drop the F-bomb because he, like, sneezed and coughed.
Yeah.
At the same time, it was this, like, weird thing, and then dropped the F-bomb, and we were both like,
did we just hear that? Yeah.
Did it just happen? And then he's never on SNL again.
Nope, never.
And this is before you could just Google, like, what happened to Norm MacDonald? Like,
right.
we just assumed he got fired, but no, we had no way of knowing. Right. And yep. He wasn't around.
One of my favorite things is they would always start the skit as you were going into the second round of Jeopardy, Double Jeopardy. Like, they're just coming back from commercial. And Will Ferrell's Alex Trebek would be like, you know, welcome back to Celebrity Jeopardy. You know, and he'd say everyone's score. And they'd all have 0 points or negative points because they all play celebrities, but they play them as they're dumb. They don't know anything. And he would say, I'd like to remind all of our guests to please refrain from using ethnic slurs. And then Sean Connery, who just, he hated Alex Trebek for some reason. You know, and he would just always go after, he'd say something about Alex Trebek's mother, or he would say, you stupid wop dago, which I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that. And then he'd be like, what did I say about ethnic slurs? You know, like.
Wasn't there one where he's like, your answer is the first half of your hand,
yeah,
and you wagered the other half of your hand.
Right, yes, yes. Or name a number, and Jimmy Fallon playing French Stewart wrote down Threave.
Threave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was part of the best parts was the categories. Like they would dumb down the categories because Alex Trebek would give up. He'd be like, oh, screw it. And one category, my favorite category, and I say this to this day, is name a color that ends in Urple.
Name what? I think my phone got it.
Name a color that ends in Urple.
In Urple, yeah.
Or will this hurt if you put it in your mouth?
That's okay. I'll take the rapist.
Yeah, that's therapist. That's therapist. Can I take black comedians named Whoopi, please? So, yeah, though, and if you get time, look all those up. There's states that end in Hampshire. That's another good one. Drummers named Ringo, you know. So, yeah, that was one of my favorites. That's my number two. Jim, what's your number two?
My number two is from 94, and it is more of an Adam Sandler skit, but it features Mr. Christopher Farley.
Oh, no. I know what it is.
What is it? What
do
you think?
No, you go. Can I say?
Okay.
Can I say? Wait, you know, you go. No, I'll say it.
Are you sure?
Is it Zagat's?
Is it what?
The Zagat's, they're the couple in the living room?
No, but that one's hilarious.
Oh. Okay.
Ravioli? Holy cannoli!
Holy.
No, it's not that one.
Okay, all right, sorry.
it's a skit.
Yeah, I know it. Sorry.
It's a skit.
Yeah.
About one of the most important people, I feel.
Okay.
The Lunch Lady.
Lunch Lady Land. Sloppy Joe. Sloppy,
skit.
Sloppy Joe.
Sloppy Joe. That skit.
Oh, it was good.
I remember when I was in like junior high and I went to our high school variety show. Did you have a variety show when you were in high school?
Yes. Yes, I wasn't allowed to participate, but yes.
Well, you had to have talent to participate in a variety show.
Not necessarily, anyway.
I was like in seventh grade, and I went to our high school variety show, and there was a kid who was a few years older than me who did an acoustic version of Lunch Lady Land, and I had never heard the song before. I had never seen the skit, And I thought he was a genius. And it, I mean, he was good because he was able to sing it and play it. And actually now he's like, I see him, he's in like a Verizon commercial now, and he's got albums out. He's actually really talented. This, Julie Harris.
This person you went to school with?
Yeah, yeah,
Made it into cell phone commercials?
Yeah, he's in a variety. I think it's Verizon Wireless commercial right now. I've seen him in like Bear Paint commercials and stuff. He lives out in L.A. and does good, this stuff now.
Good for him.
Yeah. So I watched him perform Lunch Ladyland, and it wasn't until later on when I bought They're All Gonna Laugh at You, Adam Sandler's like comedy. You had They're All Gonna Laugh at You?
Oh yeah, I had. I listened to it all the time. I loved it.
That. I had it on tape because I recorded a copy off my friend's CD.
Nice.
Because I couldn't buy that.
And for our younger listeners, tapes were these little things. Never mind. Anyway, go ahead.
I just remember listening to They're All Gonna Laugh at You in extremely low volume on the stereo in my room.
Yeah, because
really
you didn't want your mom to hear that.
Oh, no. Because that was like... the worst thing out at that time. It was like Adam Sandler's They're All Gonna Laugh at You and the Jerky Boys.
Oh, and, yes.
And I had both of those, but like listening to this at such a low volume and not really understanding more than half of what they're talking about,
but
then trying to figure out why what they said was so funny.
Right.
But this album had, I think the Thanksgiving song was on it, and They're All Gonna Laugh, that skit was on it, but Lunch Ladyland, they had like a live version of it.
Thanksgiving song is perfect for right now.
Yeah.
Turkey, turkey, do. All right, sorry.
But then for people who haven't seen that skit, I'm sorry that you haven't seen it, but it's basically Adam Sandler standing there with an electric guitar playing the song, and then Chris Farley, dressed as a lunch lady, gets up and does ballerina moves all around him while all these other people come in dressed as various pieces of food that you would serve in a cafeteria. And Sarah Silverman was one of these pieces of food.
There was like a pizza and a burger and a Salisbury steak. And,
and a Sloppy Joe.
And a Sloppy Joe.
Which was like the hero of the food war, dancing around Adam Sandler while all this happened. So just like that skit itself, and the album that it was on, and like that was my childhood watching that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. That was on. That was another one I had to cut. My wife was like, "You got to have that one on." She loves that one. She sings that song all the time. But
I do too, actually.
Yeah.
Whenever we're making food, and I also sing Dana Carvey's "Chop and Broccoli."
Chop and Broccoli. Yeah, I wanted to put that on there, but I believe that was actually 89, and so I was like,
just missed
but
it.
But that was, that's a good one. Good job, Jim. I like it. Anything else on Lunch Lady, Lunch Lady Land?
That is all the knowledge I have on Lunch Lady Land. All
right. Well, before we hit our number ones, all right?
Yes.
We are allowed, we established last week, we're allowed to have one honorable mention.
Yes.
Now, I know we've talked about other ones we left off our list and this and that, but let's start with your one honorable mention.
Oh, man, it was so hard. I kicked around what I would refer to us as the ambiguously gay duo, Steve Carell and Steve Colbert.
Yes.
I kicked that one around because those are hilarious. I kicked around Wayne's World. And this is really weird to say. I actually love the movie better than I like the skits, so I didn't include the skits.
I agree with Wayne's World. A little sidebar, my favorite one is when Aerosmith is on and Tom Hanks was the roadie. That one is hilarious, and they could have made the movie from that, and that would have been great. But yeah, I agree, the movie is better than the skits. Well, I mean, you get 90 minutes of it instead of 2 minutes, you know.
Yeah, so. But that's weird because I don't think any other SNL movie was really worth anything, and you could say Blues Brothers.
But that's before, like, there hasn't been anything else that was successful.
No, the rest of them were all just crap.
Right. Even Wayne's World 2 made a bunch of money, even though it wasn't that good, you know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Sorry, your honorable mention.
So, I'm going to go. My honorable mention is from 98, and it is Will Ferrell with Sarah Michelle Gellar as the host and Anna Gasteyer as the wife, and it's The Dysfunctional Dinner.
I drive a Dodge Stratus.
I drive a Dodge Stratus.
Oh, I'm gonna have to edit that. I blew out the speakers on that one. I'll have to edit that.
Yeah. That's good. It's just like this most awkward dinner with a family and a teenage daughter. A dad, a mom, and a teenage daughter. And if you've ever sat at an awkward dinner.
Oh, it's going to be me tomorrow at Thanksgiving. Someone's going to say to somebody, I wish you were dead. Yeah.
It's just like the sound of the silence. And the silverware cutting food.
That's the thing.
No one talking.
The silverware cutting the food.
Oh. It's just so funny. And then Will Ferrell will say something completely ridiculous, and everyone jumps on him for it.
I am a regional manager.
I drive a Dodge Stratus. When Storm Michelle Geller gets so mad, I wish you were dead, and storms out. And they don't react, and they just reach over and pick up her plate and then scrape her food off under their plates and then go on eating.
That is good. That was, remember about the same time, is that when American Beauty came out, the movie? And how it was just the parents just didn't really like each other and they ignored their daughter. It was like a funny version of that. It really was, it's just kind of like the whole thing, that the parents only cared about their career, the kid probably was on drugs and whatever, and that was a good skit. That was another tough one to leave off my list. So
what was your honorable
mention? My honorable mention, believe it or not, is not a Will Ferrell or Chris Farley skit. It's actually David Spade, which I thought was hilarious, and I wanted to go Hollywood Minute. I wanted to do something that he did, but mine was actually Total Bastard Airlines. And that was when he played the flight attendant, and the first one was with Helen Hunt. She was the host, and she played the flight attendant. But every time they did the skit, usually the host played the other flight attendant. And it was when the flight was over and everyone's leaving, and you've been on a flight, and they say, oh, goodbye, have a nice day, thanks for flying with us. They just say the same thing over and over again. Well, it's just him going, bye-bye, bye-bye. Bye-bye. And he's just, and then he would insult people. He would insult, like, Chris Farley walked by, I'm like, you're very heavy. Bye-bye. So I love that. I love that one. The only reason I really love it is because, like, certain shows from the 90s, like Seinfeld, that gave us, the terms like soup Nazi and, yada yada. This actually gave us a term that people use was bye-bye. To say it sarcastically.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. I use it all the time. No one likes me when I say it, but whatever. But that was my honorable mention. That was a good one. I love that one.
That's a good one.
So let's go with our number ones, Jim. I'm excited. I'm excited to hear your number one.
Okay. If this is your number one, I'm going to be really upset.
Okay.
I thought this was kind of like when I say it, you're going to be like, oh, man, yeah, but I thought it was kind of like an under-the-radar pick.
Okay.
I went with Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy.
Nice. I thought about that, but I didn't pick it. But that is the epitome of SNL in the 90s.
Absolutely. And I just remember watching those and just cracking up. And I was looking up some of them last night, and I was seriously just sitting here on my couch crying, laughing so hard at some of these.
Can I say my favorite one?
Yeah,
especially now that I have children. This would be really mean. I'd never do this to my son, but... Oh, my son wanted to go to Disney World, so we got in the car and drove to a burned-out building. And I said, oh, no, Disney World burned down. And he got sad, and we turned around and went home. I mean, something along those lines.
He's like, I almost took him – I was going to take him to the real Disney World, but it got late.
It got late. Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. Yeah, no, those are great. Those are great.
So Jack Handy was originally a writer for the San Antonio Express News. He was an actual journalist. And then he got fired for, he wrote something about like a car dealership and got fired.
Sure.
And he got a job writing for Steve Martin. And then he got him a job at SNL. So he's actually the voice reading his brilliant.
Oh, he is? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's Phil Hartman does the intro.
Right.
And now Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy. And then Jack Handy reads it.
Oh, my gosh. They were
and
funny.
Then he also came up with the classic Phil Hartman skit, the unfrozen caveman lawyer.
I'm just a caveman.
He was one of them. And then he also did Toons' The Driving Cat.
Oh my gosh, those are all good 90s ones.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm sitting on my couch last night looking these up and kind of watching old ones on NBC.com because they've got the entire catalog of SNL, which is amazing in the way they have it broken down.
Right.
And some of these, I wrote them, some of them down because I was like, oh my God, that's just brilliant. Like, this is one that you should never say to Fletcher. If a kid asks where rain comes from, I think a cute thing and tell him, God is crying. And if he asks why God is crying, another cute thing to tell him is probably because of something you did.
You're right. I shouldn't say that to my son. I may have already said it to my son. I
have already said that to him.
But no, I should not say that to my son.
No. This one is probably a classic one. When I was a kid, my favorite relative was Uncle Caveman. After school, we'd all go play in the cave, and once in a while, he would eat one of us. It wasn't until later I found out that Uncle Caveman was a bear. they're just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
This one I actually kind of still live my life by.
All right.
To me, it's always a good idea to always carry around two stacks. If when you're walking around, that way, when someone says, hey, can you give me a hand, you can say, sorry, I got these sacks.
Yeah.
Pretty much how I live my life.
Yeah, that's the bare minimum, Jim. That's your name. Yeah.
And I won't keep reading it. This is the last one because this one I actually wet myself. This one was, we used to laugh at Grandpa when he'd head off and go fishing. But we wouldn't be laughing that evening when he'd come back with some hoary head and bound.
Oh my God! See that's a perfect skit. They were 15, 20 seconds with the intro.
Yep.
I mean, it was perfect. And they would do like two a show. You know, those are good. Oh man!
And I saw one on the Thanksgiving special that's on right now.
Yeah,
they did Fuzzy Memories for a little while too, which also a Jack.
Yeah, yeah, those were good.
So that is my number one. I always thought they were so brilliant and just these serene images of like a pond or a lake or a stream while he's saying this ridiculous thing, which is so hilarious.
It was like a total Hallmark card, you know. It was just,
right.
Yeah. All right. Well, my number one is, this man is 35 years old, eats a steady diet of government cheese. He's thrice divorced, and he lives in a van down by the river.
I gotta say, that was pretty good.
It was a good one, thank you. We obviously already mentioned it, as this was your number three, I believe. But
I think it was three.
Matt Foley, motivational speaker. By far, I watched it, I was going over, I was on NBC.com, not a sponsor, by the way, but they've gotten a lot of play here. But I was going over watching these, and you're right. The first one ever that debuted was in May of 93, and it was with David Spade and Christina Applegate. It's still the funniest thing. It still makes me laugh now after all this time. It's so funny. Like you said, it was created by Bob Odenkirk. There's only eight of them. They only had eight of them. And actually, there's nine, but the last one that aired was actually during the 40th anniversary, and Melissa McCartney came on and played Matt Foley.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it was really funny. You should go back and check it out. She did a really good job. Way better impression at it than me. But it's a great skit. I mean, it shows, you know, Spade couldn't hold it through the, you know, watching him, and he couldn't. And when Farley would see people break, because Sandler would always break, and Spade would from time to time, he would go after them. He would get in their face.
Yep.
And there's one point he picks them up off the couch and like bear hugs them and then throws them back on the couch. And Spade was like a little rag doll in Farley's hands. He would like, young man, what do you want to do with your life? And David Spade's like, well, I don't think I want to be a writer. And then he would go, what, Dad, is that Bill Shakespeare over there? Well, we're trying to encourage him in his writing there, Matt. He's like, I wish you'd shut your big yapper. You know, he would say these freaking crazy things. And I live in Minnesota, very close to Wisconsin. There are people like Matt Foley that live in the Midwest. And they're not joking. Like, it's not fun. This is how they act. And Yeah, it's the funniest skit I've ever seen. It's still funny. I watched it last night about four times. My wife and I, we laughed at it. Like, I was crying laughing because it's the first time I watched it in a long time. And yeah, it's that's my number one. So Jim, we only had one overlapping top five.
That's pretty impressive. I'm glad we didn't. Last time we had our lists were essentially the same last time, and I'm glad this
just
time
different
we
orders.
Didn't talk
yeah.
at all. Like, I had no idea what you were going to say in this one, and we went in a lot of different directions. So I'm pretty happy about that.
I'm getting a little verklempt. I'll give you a topic. The jelly bean is neither made of jelly nor a bean.
Discuss. Going through this, it made me realize, and I thought the 90s were like the golden age for me of SNL, but it made me realize that the early 2000s were really hilarious. Andy Samberg was really funny with his digital shorts and all the music, and Chris Parnell with the Lazy Sunday and Dick in a Box. And
well, you and I, we were texting back and forth. I'm sorry. We were texting back and forth, and I said, oh, man. I just found out that I want to put in my list it was in 2000. And you're like, was it the More Cowbell? And it's like, yeah. Like, we knew exactly. I mean, that's, to me, next to Matt Foley, if I had to do an overall list, that would probably be a solid number two for me, next to Matt Foley.
Yeah, and it would have been in my list, and that's how I knew that it was 2000. And when you were like, no, I can't do this one because it's 2000. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about because it was going to be in my list.
Right. Oh man, this was a good one, Jim. We actually did some homework, you know, and like
we
last time.
We read things.
Yeah,
we prepared.
We read things. I annoyed the hell out of my wife. I woke her up last night, like giggling, and like, "What are you writing?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm writing my stuff."
Have you watched any SNLs lately?
Yeah. The last SNL thing I watched was Actually, I don't like to talk. I don't like to talk politics ever anymore. But the last thing I watched was the opening for the Saturday Night Live after the election. Kate McKinnon dressed as Hillary Clinton. She sang "Hallelujah," which I love that song. I listened to anyone sing it. And I didn't realize Kate McKinnon had that good of a voice.
Incredible! I don't think anybody
did. It was incredible. And I think, and she really played the piano too during that skit, and so that was one of the best cold opens I've seen in a long time. I know some people don't like it because they thought it was just too like, but it's SNL, like who cares? It was great. It was still funny because she was singing it as Hillary Clinton, kind of, you know, like so.
Yeah.
So that would be the last SNL skit I've seen. How about you?
I have the week after recorded, but I haven't actually watched it yet. I heard there's some funny political stuff in it.
Yeah.
But I haven't watched it yet. So the last one I did watch was the Dave Chappelle episode, and that cold open with Kate McKinnon was probably my favorite SNL moment, period.
Yeah. You think so? Really? Favorite?
Yeah, for me, I have a DVR, and I probably am not going to record it. I've watched it back a few times past that point. Mm-hmm. And I love Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, and it was just so perfect. Mm-hmm. He had just passed away, tragically.
Yeah.
He's a musical genius, and most people know that song from Jeff Buckley. He kind of did like the gold standard of Hallelujah, but it was Leonard Cohen who made that song. So that the fact that she's playing that song, which the verses she sang so perfectly fit where Hillary Clinton was after losing the election, and just the timing of it was beautiful. She sang beautiful. She played beautiful. Like, that is probably my favorite SNL moment of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, all right then. Good.
Yeah. I stand by that.
Well, good. You got to stand for something,
Jim. And Sinead O'Connor ripping a picture of the Pope. Totally different spectrum.
Jim, we're going to get hate mail.
You remember when she did that?
I do. I do remember that. And I remember the following week, Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci were on, and they talked about how they would smack her. And I don't know if that would actually fly today.
Probably not.
No.
No. And I guess in dress rehearsal, it was a picture of a baby. Like, why would you even do that? Like, why? Nobody questioned why she's tearing up a picture of a baby in a dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
But
yeah, she was an interesting artist. Well, good, Jim.
And apparently, I also learned the only song I liked she ever did was a Prince song. It wasn't even her song.
Oh, really? Well, Prince is a genius. We love Prince here in Minnesota.
True.
Yep.
True.
When he died, I literally cried Purple Rain. Just so you know.
Minnesota hometown, right?
You know why we love him so much? You know why? Because I don't know if you even knew, Bob Dylan's actually from Duluth, Minnesota, where I am right now.
I did not know that.
I should say he's from Hibbing, Minnesota, which is like an hour away from us, but he moved here, and that's where he started his like music career, and then he got big, went to Minneapolis, went elsewhere. He doesn't care that he's where he's from. He doesn't say, like, Prince, like, stayed here. He was a huge Viking, you know, so he made, like, there's those certain artists that they love where they're from. Like, last week, we talked about Bill Murray. Bill Murray loves Chicago, and he bleeds Chicago.
Yeah.
And Prince bled Minnesota, and so that's, you know, I think that's why, like, even if you didn't like his music, that's why people love him, because he loved where he's from. And, you know, Midwest people, we like people being nice to us. You know what I mean? Like, so, like,
right.
He was, like, our guy, and so that's why we love him so much. Because I didn't like every Prince song. I liked a lot of Prince song. I mean, I think he's a musical genius, but that's just me. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like Prince. I grew up listening to a lot of Prince in the 90s and stuff, mm-hmm. but he was never, like, I guess my favorite, if that makes sense.
Well, that's your problem. So anyway, please rate us on iTunes. I heard you if you give someone a rating, it helps them. So go out to iTunes and Podbean and rate us. We're going to work on getting on Stitcher, which is another great way to get your podcast. But please do that if you can. If you want to send us email or contact us at all, you can email us at tomandjimstop5@gmail.com. That's the number 5. Don't spell it out. And you can also find us on Facebook, Tom and Jim's Top 5. And if you got suggestions for what list we should do, please let us know. The topics are endless. We have a kind of a list from some people that some people have told us what we should do and stuff like that. But we can do anything. Well, I can't do anything, but you
literally,
know what I mean?
literally
do anything I want. My mom always said I could do anything I ever wanted.
Your mom was wrong.
You calling her a liar? It ain't the holidays till mom cries. All right. Please. Hey, thanks to our voice guy. If you heard him in the beginning of our show, that's our friend Rob. He does not want us to promote his voice over business. Until he thinks...
Rob Labor?
Until he
Labor,
thinks...
Labor, L-O-E-B-E-R?
Yeah, he does not want us to promote him until he thinks that we actually are worth it. So
right, because he wants his name on a good product.
Yeah, right. So anyway, if you like him, I can't tell you where to find him, but let us know and we can hook you up with him, I guess, somehow. But yeah. Oh, Jim, this has been fun. Enjoy Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Hey, you too, buddy.
All right. Well, Jim, I'll call you back in 5 minutes.
Hey, Tom.
Yes?
I love you.
Love you, too. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Bye.